Amen, amen. Let's go ahead and take our Bibles tonight to Proverbs.
Let's start off in the book of Proverbs, chapter number 30. Proverbs chapter number 30 is going to be another topical style message here, to like it was last Wednesday night. We're going to be looking at different passages of scriptures talking about a certain topic. Little things are important. The title of this evening's message is Little Things Are Important. And it's amazing how many different stories it talks about how little things can make such a difference. Sometimes for good and sometimes for bad. As I was doing some research and studying, I thought came up with some really cool things about how little things are making a big difference. The first bridge, and once again, when I read these things, these are things I did a little research and study. Sometimes they come from sermon illustrations, sometimes they come from history, but it seems like everything nowadays in history is, this is the way we think it happened, or this is the way, because history seems like they're trying to change history all the way around. But some of these things when we talk about, I'm not saying that they're the exactly right. It's just that most historians agree it happened this way. And so the first time that someone built a bridge over Niagara Falls, it started off very little and very simple. Anybody know how it happened? No? Somebody flew a kite. So they flew a kite from one side to the other side. And what happened is when they got the kite, they took it and they took the string from the kite, they tied the string together, and then they began to go back and forth with a stronger string, and then they put a thicker string, and then they began to repeat the process with a cord, then a thin rope, then a thicker rope, and then a steel cable which crossed the expanse and was strong enough to support, then something built that could support workers, tools, materials. Finally, there was a sturdy bridge over which trains and trucks could easily pass and was completed, but it all began with the string that was flown by a kite. It's amazing how important little things are, and it's amazing what little things can accomplish for good and for bad. So tonight we're going to look at some different things in the Bible with the word little, and we might obviously use some different things that go along with the word little just to help establish the point. But one of the first things I want you to think about is being faithful to little things. It's important. In our Christian life, in our Christian walk, we need to learn how to be faithful in the little things. You know, if we're faithful in the little things, you know what's going to be? We're going to be faithful in the big things. But when we are not faithful in the little things, you know what's going to happen? We're never going to be faithful in the big things also. You say, well, that sounds like a Bible verse. It's because it is. It says in Luke 16:10, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. And I think we have to understand what we consider as least, or the little things, are things that are really important. Like our Bible reading, or praying, or being faithful in our witness, being faithful to church. Some people say, that's just normal Christianity. A lot of people struggle with that. So, but if you can't struggle with reading, if you struggle with reading your Bible, you're never going to have the opportunity to, if you can't be faithful here, when God presents a greater opportunity over here, you're not going to be faithful there either. I know sometimes the challenges that we find is, I only teach a class that has one or two. If I was preaching to 1,000 people, or if I had a class of 100 people, then I would be able, I would do so much more. And there's some reasoning there, but if the one and two were faithful there, you know what the Bible's saying? That you're going to be faithful no matter what it is. So we need to be faithful to the Lord. We need to be faithful in little things. Then, the first thing that comes to my mind when I think about little things, I think about cool stories in the Bible where God used little things, great things. You think about those little 5 smooth stones that David picked up. One little stone in a slingshot took down a giant. And you think about the little boy with his lunch. There is a lad here which had 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. What are they among so many? What he's saying, this is so little. Now, what can they do among so many? You say, Pastor, what's the point of the lesson? Is because I think right now many of us feel little. With all the things that are going on in this world, with all the things, we got only one voice when we seem like we need a million voices, and we only have one opportunity, and we this and that. God can do something with little. God can do something with just a little bit of opportunity if we're faithful. I think about, remember when Elijah was talking to that widow and they talked about, you know, hey, go make me a little cake. And she's like, I only have a little bit of oil left. I only have, I think it was a little bit of oil. It says, and he said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And what did God do with that little bit? He kept on feeding them and feeding them and feeding them because they were willing to give that little bit over to God. It's sort of like when he looked at Moses and said, what's that in thine hand? And it was a rod. And God said, okay, that's your rod. If you're willing to let me use it, I can do something great with it. So little things are important. So you might say, well, I don't do anything important. Everything I do just seems really little, so it seems like it's insignificant. So who cares if I don't show up at church? If everybody had that attitude, then nobody would be here. Well, my 10% is so much less than somebody else's 10%. Why should I give my 10%? Well, everybody had that logic. Guess what would happen? No one would give. And it's this thought process that's here. Well, I can't reach to certain people. You can reach out to everyone, but if you say, well, what is one track going to make a difference? Well, that one track, if everybody does and has that attitude, guess what? Nothing's going to go out. So little things are important. God can use, and God does great things with little things. I like where it says in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 27, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised have God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. So what they're saying is, God doesn't operate like we do. You know, the things that we would consider foolish, God can confound the wise. Those things that we think that are weak, God can make them strong. Those things that we think are little, God can use in a great way. And so the first point of the message is even little things can accomplish great things. In Proverbs chapter number 30, if you look in verse number 24, we're introduced to four different things that are considered little in this world. Four different things that are considered little, and I want you to see the different things they can accomplish. Proverbs chapter number 30, look what it says in verse number 24. There be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. So even something that is little can be wise. I know some of you people out there that might be a little short. You think, well, this is my message. You know, I'm little, so it's good. So they can be extremely wise. And you look at verse number 25. The ants are a people, not strong, but they prepare their meat in the summer. Now, someday, who knows, maybe we'll get to this passage of scripture and look at all these different animals, but these different things, they are very impressive what they can do and what they can accomplish, how they work together, how they accomplish so much, all the different things about an ant. They're little. Most people wouldn't think anything about it, but they're able to prepare. They're able to plan, and they're able to do so. It's amazing what they can do. And once again, we're not going to spend a lot of time going over these because there's more things I want to get to. But the Bible says, look, there's four things that the world considers little, but look at what they can do. Verse 26, the conies are but a feeble folk, yet they make their houses in the rocks. The locusts have no king, yet they go forth, all of them, by bands. The spider taketh hold with her hands and is in the king's palaces. So those are four different things that the Bible consider little, but they each have something specific that they can do and specific that they accomplish, and cite the fact that they're little, besides the fact that that people would say they're insignificant. What can they accomplish? Well, one is able to protect themselves. One prepares. One's able to go around in bands, large droves, without any type of king. You know what? Most humans don't do those things. One's up in the king's palaces where everybody else would like to be. It's there. And it's amazing what little things can accomplish. So let's think about the next thing. These are the three main things. The first thing I want you to think about is a little member. A little member. Anybody know what we're talking about there? The tongue, that's right. I don't know who said it, but good job. James chapter number 4. Now, actually, James chapter number 3. A little member. You know what? The tongue is something that can accomplish a lot of bad or a lot of good. A little thing here in James chapter number 3. This is one of the ones that many people agree how it happened. But some people, the lady who owned the cow said it's not the truth. But here in the great Chicago fire that occurred in 1871, it says evidently Mrs. O'Leary's barn, in the barn a cow twitched its leg and kicked over a lamp. The lamp broke and caught a wisp of the hay on fire. Soon the whole barn was up in flames, which then spread to and consumed the city. Hundreds of people died, and millions of dollars of damage occurred, all because of a twitching cow. Now, Mrs. O'Leary said that's not the way it happened, but it was some type of little spark that caused this great fire. And the Bible gives a picture of this here in James chapter number 3. He says in verse number 1, we'll just go ahead and read a few verses before that. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. So what the scripture is saying here is, you know, the tongue is something that's hard to control. And if a person is able to control the tongue, they're going to be able to control themselves physically also. Verse number 3, behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Verse number 5, even so the tongue is a little member, and boasts of great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And I thought that was kind of interesting how from just that little lantern it destroyed a huge city. It's amazing, and this the description that's given here is the same thing, what a tongue can do. The tongue is a very small part of our body, but when compared to something like our heart, it can create such great problems for our heart. What's the thing that gets us mostly and the biggest trouble? I know the first thing that comes into our mind are our heart and the idea that it's in our brain, but our physically shows out it because all our sin begins with that thought. But our tongue. Our tongue is the one that gets us in trouble with people when we mouth off, when we tell a lie, when we gossip, when we speak unkindly. Sometimes we might utter a careless word of gossip. Sometimes that even a tongue twitch can cause a person to seize upon that word and spread it like wildfire. It's amazing some of the stories you hear from people, and you're like, where'd you get that from? I know that just thinking here recently, something with the virus is going on. Someone came up to me and said, did you know so-and-so has the virus? I said, really? I didn't know that. And I said, where'd you hear it from? And it wasn't the case. They didn't have the virus. They had just heard that that person had been exposed to someone else who had been exposed to the virus. But it came all the way down that it was someone that I knew that they had the virus. They didn't. It's amazing what a little tongue can cause and the issues and problems that can come. Soon, little words can cause a very big heartache. In some cases, it even starts a war. It seems like a termite can destroy more property in this world than earthquakes can. And it's amazing how something that's little. I was also reading, and I don't know if it's 100% true or not, but they said the deadliest predator out there is, or the deadliest animal in the world, is not a tiger or a bear or a stampeding elephant or a rhino, but it's a mosquito. Now, a mosquito I don't think is an animal. I think it's more of an insect. You science teachers can correct me later, but it's still the same thing that would die at the cause of another creature. It's a mosquito. And why is that? Because in the different areas of the different world, the spread of malaria, this tiny little beast kills over 3 million people a year through the spread of malaria, it says. Some experts talk about how they're the highest ratio compared to all the other, it doubles anybody else's from, you think, a lion attack or, you know, a rhino, all those different things. Oh, yeah, they're the deadliest animals, but it's a mosquito, and a little thing. It can cause a lot of harm. And it's just an illustration here how our tongue can get us in a lot of trouble and how we should be able to try to tame the tongue. And the amazing thing is we can't do it on our own. Look what it says in verse number 6. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. And for every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents, of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. He said, well, Pastor, it says over here, it talks about how if a man can tame his tongue in verse number 2, he can control his whole body. But over here it's saying no man can tame it. It's because we need the Holy Spirit's help. We need God's help. Remember, God knows exactly what to say. God also knows exactly what we shouldn't say. And as we are close to the Lord, we allow Him to encourage us and we allow Him to use our tongue as a way to be a blessing. Look what it says in verse number 11. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Verse number 12. Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs, so no, can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh? Verse number 10, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. So what the scripture is saying there, hey, you know, you should be using your tongue for right. You shouldn't be blessing and cursing both. It's something that a tongue is something that can, it's yes, it's little, and it can set on fire. It can do a lot of horrible damage. But can you imagine how much good a tongue can do? My heart was encouraged by the song earlier, by the trio. And I tell you, it's hard to sing without music. That's a tough thing. I know Mr. Barry started them off, but that's a challenge. You know, a tongue can be used as a way to be a blessing. How about when you hear preachers, that's a way of blessing. You say, well, I'm not a musician. I'm not a preacher. You know what? Words of encouragement. Proverbs 25:11 says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pitchers of silver. I remember a preacher preaching about that one time. He took like an hour and 20 minutes to preach that message. I think that's a great verse, but I mean, he kept on preaching and preaching, saying the same thing over and over, but it got in my mind, and I know it's a beautiful picture that if you, the right word spoken at the right time, at the right occasion, to the right person, it can change a person's life. One of my mom's favorite songs, and if you think I'm a bad singer, you should listen to my mom sing. Woo! Boy, she's bad. And mom's probably even watching now. Hi, Mom. Or she'll probably watch it at some point in time. And she used to go around the house, and she used to sing this song, Little As Much When God Is In It. And it's a really sweet song, and I can still hear her singing it. And the story behind that song, it came from just a little note of encouragement. It says, one snow blanket night, a Canadian, Fred Suffield, awoke to an urgent pounding on his door. It says, a half-frozen man reported that a train had stalled in a blizzard and the passengers were in danger of freezing to death. They lit a lantern, and Fred followed this man to the site, led the travelers back to his house. Later, one of the passengers, her name was Kitty, wrote a thank you note. Fred replied and Kitty wrote back, and their correspondence led to a courtship and led to a marriage. It all started because one person wrote a thank you note. So for you that are looking for a husband or wife, thank you notes are really important. So sometime later, Fred and Kitty attended a church in Ottawa, and they gave their lives over to the Lord. They got saved. As the couple grew in Christ, they entered into the ministry of evangelism. And one summer, they invited the Shays teenager, George Beverly, to spend a month with them in Westport, Ontario. Some of you guys know who George Beverly Shay is. He's a singer. It says that Beverly attempted to sing once, but his voice cracked on a high note, and he sat down, mortified, saying he was never going to sing in public again. It says that Kitty wouldn't hear of it, suggesting he just sing in a lower key. He did, and he kept on singing and singing and singing. And even though he's someone who sang many times at Billy Graham type revivals, and it says one day my wife and I was privileged to attend a reception for the Graham team. They had went before the meetings began, and it says that George Beverly Shay at 92 sang the song Little As Much When God Is In It. And it's something that Fred and Kitty had written many years earlier. And the person who's writing this says, you know, I thought it was strange. They were getting ready to have one of what would have been considered the great evangelists of the day. And once again, Billy, he's somebody who did change. Billy Graham changed a little bit over the years towards the end of his ministry. But he would have been considered one of the great evangelists of the day, going to one of the big areas of the day and all these other things. What is the little as much? He's saying this is on the big scene. This is not little, this is big. But the author put it this way. He said, I thought it was a strange choice. We're on the verge of one of the greatest evangelistic efforts in Nashville's history, headlined by one of the most famous evangelists in the world. And this Beverly Shea song was about the littleness in her efforts. He says, but later I realized how perfectly the song fit. And compared to this great mission to untold multitudes, our own individual ministry seems small and insignificant. But God uses little things in great ways. A tiny acorn may produce a forest. A spark may ignite a revival. A small church may produce someone that God uses in a great way in the ministry. We should not be discouraged by small things and little things. And a word that's fitly spoken, just by that little encouragement of a note, became a marriage, and they wrote that song together. What an amazing thought, how God uses little things. The Bible says in Proverbs 10:20, the tongue is also as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth. If you have a proper tongue, uses the tongue in a proper way, it's worth more than silver or gold. It's a little member. Little words of encouragement can help turn around a life. Okay, another thing. In James chapter number 4, once again, actually over James chapter number 4, verse number 14. James chapter number 4, verse number 14. Many of you are familiar with this. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time. So the next point is, and then vanish away, the next point is a little bit of time. So when we consider the scriptures, we think how God can use little things. We need to make sure that we are careful with the little things. We need to make sure that we're faithful in the little things. God can use little things. Look at what the little things can do in Proverbs chapter number 30, how God has designed the ants and the conies and the spiders and the locusts and how they're so specifically made. And you get to this point here, okay, the little member, now it's a little bit of time. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here because I think on Sunday morning we're going to talk a little bit about how time is, it seems like it's drawing to an end, but how time goes by so fast and how we should be careful with our time. But just to give a little thought process, was here a little bit of time. Ephesians 5:16 says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Colossians 4:5, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. How important is time? You think about it, when you're in the Olympics and you're there and they're there running, you know, a quarter of a second can change a person's life from a gold medal to a bronze medal, just from a second or a half a second. We need to use our time wisely. That's why the Bible says in Proverbs 24:33, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of hands to sleep, saying, don't be lazy. Don't be someone who's slothful. You only have a short period of time while you're here. And I know what's going through everybody's hearts and minds in the day and time we live in, where it seems like the Bible is being unfolded right in front of us. And we see things where people talk about chips and people are saying, is that the mark of the beast? And people are talking about a cashless society and all those different things. And I'm saying, hey, look, we're going to take it one step at a time. But, you know, that's obviously the things that are coming today. They are things that are preparing us for a world that has a one person that's going to lead and a cashless society and a mark of all those different things are things that are, it seems like the Bible is being fulfilled right before our eyes. It means that we might not have much more time. The question is, what are we doing with this little bit of time? Sometimes the little bit of time that we have left, we want to hurry up and get things done. But the bad thing is when we get older and we realize, man, I only got a few more years, we can't do what we used to be able to do. If we would have remembered back here when we were 18, 19, 20, 21, man, I got a lot I want to accomplish for the Lord. I got a lot of things I want to do when we actually had the physical tools and capabilities and sometimes the time. You know, that's something that's, we may remember a creator in the days of our youth, right? And that's the purpose here. There's only a little bit of time here in this world. And I think many of us come back here, and I know I'm not there yet, but when we hit 60 or 65 or 70, we're like, man, I don't got much time left. I need to get going. And our get going doesn't go like it used to. So I know what you're thinking. You say, well, you don't even know what you're talking about. So you think about a little bit of time. It says here in verse 14, it says, it is even a vapor that appear for a little time and then vanish away. That's our life. Why do we spend so much time on things that do not matter? Why do we spend so much time on the things of this world? And it's challenging to keep that on the forefront of our minds, but that's what it's talking about here. The little things are important. A little member like our tongue, our little bit of time we have here. And the third thing is a little bit of sin. A little bit of sin. You know, there's people out there that clarify or call certain sins. This is a little sin and a big sin. A white sin, a white lie versus a black lie, I guess. I don't know. You know, those are different things that are there that you're saying it's not so bad. Sin is sin. The Bible says in Galatians 5:9, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. The picture of the leaven there is about what sin can do, even in a congregation, but especially even in our own bodies. Luke 12:28 says, if then God so clothe the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast in the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? That verse has nothing to do with what I was talking about. Sorry. It's 1 Corinthians 5:6 says, your glorifying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? 1 Corinthians chapter number 5 says, look, you're glorying in the wrong things. Your glorifying is not good. Only thing we should glory in is the fact that we know God and the fact that we love God and we know more about him. And that verse, I think it's in Jeremiah, talks about how the wise man glorieth in his wisdom, the mighty man glorieth in his might. But it's saying, hey, if we're going to glory in anything, glory that you know God. And know him personally. And that's the greatest thing we can glory in. And he says, look, your glorying is not good. Your pride is not good. He says, because a little leaven, he said, well, that's not a big deal if I'm a little bit prideful. No, that little bit of leaven is going to leaven the whole lump. And that's where do you think these, quote, quote, big sins come from? You know, it's just a little look. And then somebody who's addicted to pornography with their life and they can't get rid of the stuff in their mind they wish they could, it started off with just a little look. It just started off with a little drink, or it just started off with a little puff. It just started off with a little bit of anger, or a little bit of jealousy, or a little bit of covetousness, a little bit of smileness, a little bit of laziness, a little bit of lack of faithfulness, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. And then that little bit becomes something that gives the devil a foothold in your life, and sooner or later it becomes a stronghold to the point that you're like, how did this ever happen? How did I ever end up in bankruptcy because I didn't take care of my money? How did I ever end up in a alcoholic anonymous? How did I ever end up losing my family? How did I ever end up being thrown out of something or another, losing my job? Remember, it's a little bit that leaveneth the whole lump. Think of what it says in Song of Solomon 22:15. Take us the foxes, the little foxes, that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. Little foxes that spoil the vines. It is better to have a little with the Lord than allow a little bit of sin. I know it's not the word little, but I think you can get the idea of the speck. We think about that guy that's when Jesus was talking about dealing with the speck in your brother's eyes versus the mote that's in your own eye. And many times people are going around and trying to get that speck out of somebody else's eye. And they focus so much on the little things in everybody else's life, they're missing the whole point of what they have. They have a problem. And their problem is they're focused on let me deal with that little. And they got that whole mote that's coming out of their own eye. It gives the idea of a 2x4 coming out of your own eye, where you're trying to get a splinter out of somebody else's eye. If you would learn that, hey, that little bit of sin that's in your heart and life is going to distract you. You're going to focus. You're going to start looking at that person has a problem. That person has a problem. That person needs me to fix that person's problem. And we need to fix our own problem, because the little leaven, it leaveneth the whole lump. Couple more thoughts and we'll be done. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 16, better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Proverbs 16:8, better is little with righteousness than great revenues without right. There is another spot in the Bible I think about little, and I think little things can be a big blessing. I think we miss this sometimes, how much a blessing someone can be to somebody else. Sometimes we miss what a kind word or just showing a ministry or being caring to them makes such a difference. There's in 2 Kings chapter number 4, verse number 10, it says, let us make a little chamber, you get the word little again, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick, And it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither. And this is speaking of Elisha and the little prophet's chamber that was made there by that lady. And she was there. She says, let's just put a little room there for him. What a blessing that was. It was something that she was describing as little, but it's something that was a huge blessing. And I think of our prophet's chamber here at our church. It's a huge blessing to many people that are inside of ministry. How much we can be a blessing. We can be a blessing to someone with our actions, with our words, with our motivations. I don't know how many times I can say I've been encouraged by someone saying a kind word. And I know the Lord's put it upon their heart because they could not know what I was going through. They could not know what I was thinking. But you know what they could do? They could listen to the leading of the Holy Spirit and let God lead and direct. There's lots of people who say lots of nice things. I'm always thankful and appreciative. But there are certain times when someone says something and I know, hey, God gave them that to say because that's what I needed. We can be a blessing. Even a little thing can be a big blessing. I know over the years, it seems like when I would go and do something extravagant or something big, it doesn't seem like it has that much of a blessing to the individual. But sometimes just a simple phone call, a simple text, a simple stopping by, dropping something small off, just letting the Lord lead you and guide you can be such a huge blessing for others. Little things are important. Little things are something we should be faithful with. The little things are something that God can use. I think about, it says that little maid, talking about the guy, the young lady that helped Naaman learn about Elisha. And this, it's amazing, the story. Little. All throughout the scriptures, there's something little. And we, in this day and time we live in, I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel like, okay, I'm just a speck on this map. I can't really do much to make a difference. My influence is probably little. What I can do is small. And God says, no, that's not your job to. You just be faithful. And God can take something that's little. God can take something that's small and do something whatever way he chooses. But what the world would say would be great. So remember the little member. Remember the little bit of time. And remember a little bit of sin. It's important. Let's be faithful with the little things. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I am so thankful that little is much when God is in it. I'm so thankful that God works and that God moves and that God does, Lord, according to your plan and how you can take something like 5 loaves and 2 fishes and make it something great. And Lord, how you can take something that is a little slave girl that's over in a foreign country and do something special. Take 5 smooth stones and use one of them and kill Goliath. Take a little bit of oil and continue to feed a family. A stick and part the Red Sea. Lord, help us to be faithful in the little things. Help us to believe in our great God that can do amazing things with little things. Help us to see how little things such as ants and locusts and the conies and the spiders and all that they can accomplish, even though they may look little and insignificant in this world. Lord, help us to remember that little member we have that gets us in a lot of trouble. Help us to dedicate it to you and say, Lord, I want my tongue to be a blessing and not a curse. Help us to remember to deal with the little bit of sin because that little bit of sin grows. Lord, help us remember we only have a little bit of time. We don't know how long we have, but we know it's short. Lord, speak to our hearts about being faithful with the little things. In Jesus' name, amen.